Today we have the privilege of studying Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th chapter of Divrei Hayamim Bet. In this chapter, the central issue is the split of the kingdom between Rechavam and Yerovam, and the development of that split in respect of two specific events. The first is the initial attempts at war between Rechavam and Yerovam, and the way in which the initial war was deterred. The second issue is the fortification of the kingdom of Rechavam and the way in which that fortification expressed arrogance and ultimately led to the defeat of Rechavam in a subsequent war. Let's now look at the two sections of this chapter which express first the attempt at war between Rechavam and Yerovam and the decision ultimately not to go to war. And second, the fortification of the kingdom and the way that fortification expressed arrogance. The very beginning of the chapter opens with the attempt by Rechavam to gather an army to fight against Yerovam. Rechavam, king of Jerusalem, of Judah, gathers an army to fight against Yerovam, who has rebelled against him. ויבוא רחבעם ירושלים ויקהל את בית יהודה ובנימין 180 אלף בחור עושה מלחמה להילחם עם ישראל להשיב את הממלכה לרחבעם. רחבעם came to Jerusalem and he gathered the houses of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 chosen warriors who were capable of doing war to fight against Israel in order to return the kingdom to Rechavam. Now, in Pasuk Bet, we find the introduction of a prophet. And this is a device commonly and frequently found in Divrei Hayamim, in the narratives, that before every action that's taken, before every action that a king takes together with his people, there is a speech of a prophet which warns the people to go on the good path. And here, the people do choose the path of the prophet and obey the prophet. The prophet is named Shemaya Ish HaElokim, and he delivers the following speech beginning in Pasuk Gimel. Emor al Rechavam ben Shlomo melech Yehuda ve'el kol Yisrael b'Yehuda u'vinyamin lemor, say to Rechavam son of Shlomo, king of Yehuda, and to all of the people of Israel in Yehuda and in Binyamin, saying, and the formulation of that Pasuk emphasizes the idea that we're not speaking here to the tribe of Yehuda, but to those members of the global house of Israel who are resident in Yehuda. Pasuk Daled, Ko amar Hashem lo ta'alu ve'lo titlachamu im achechem, shuvu ish leveito, ki me'itin hiya hadavar hazeh. Vayishme'u et divrei Hashem, vayashuvu melechet el yerav am. Thus says God, do not go up and do not fight with your brothers. Rather, return each one of you to your house, for from me has come this matter. They obeyed the words of God, and they returned from going up against Yerovam. The emphasis here is on the fundamental brotherhood of Israel, and therefore it would be inappropriate for one group to wage a war against another group. Rather than beginning a civil war over the question of the kingship, which really belongs to Rechavam, it would be more appropriate to recognize the split as deriving from a divine edict, and therefore to refrain from fighting with Yerovam. The second issue in the chapter begins in Pasuk Hei, and here we find a description of the building of fortifications in Yehuda. Now, generally the building of fortifications is a positive act, and there is no reason explicit statement in this chapter that this building of fortifications is negative. Nevertheless, from a comparison with the evidence in with the narrative in Perek Yud Daled, which we will shortly study, we can clearly see that here there is no mention in the process of the building of the fortifications of any acknowledgement of a debt to God who has allowed Yehuda to build such fortifications, or who has allowed Rechavam to participate in the building of such fortifications. And because there is no acknowledgement of that fundamental debt to God, there is something fundamentally wrong about the building of these fortifications. That we can see again from a comparison of this material with Perek Yud Daled, where in Perak Yudalad, a later king, Asa, takes similar actions, and yet there, because he acknowledges in his process of his building that the fortification building is due to divine assistance, his efforts are crowned with success, whereas Rechava'am, who simply builds without any mention of divine assistance, his efforts later meet with stalemate and failure, as we will see in the next chapter, in Perak Yud Bet, in chapter 12, where despite the fact that he's built these fortifications, he is defeated by Shishak, king of Egypt, who comes to fight against Yehuda. Now, let's look a little bit more closely at the list of fortifications. Pasuk Hey, 5, Vayeshev Rechava'am B'Yerushalayim, Vayiven Arim L'Matzor B'Yehuda. Yerechava'am dwelled in Jerusalem. He built cities of stronghold in Yehuda. The first list in Pasuk Vav is Beit Lechem, Etam, and Tekoa. That's a list of cities located in what is today Gush Etzion, delineating the eastern border of the kingdom. Then in Pasuk Zayin, we have a second list of cities, Beit Tzur, Socho, Adulam. Now, Beit Tzur really is part of that same eastern list of cities which we saw in Pasuk Vav, while Socho and Adulam, along with Gat and Maresha, which are mentioned in Pasuk Chet, would be considered to be the cities along the western side. Socho and Adulam are located just north of where Beit Shemesh is today. Gat probably does not refer to Philistine Gat, but rather to a city in close proximity to Maresha. And Maresha is located at the site which is currently occupied by Beit Guvrin. So you see there a line along the western border between as the beginning of the Philistine territory. Additional cities mentioned here include Adoraim, whose location is not entirely clear, Lachish, which is located in the southwestern tip of the kingdom of Yehuda, along the entry point towards Plishtim, and Azekah is along that line, that western line. Azekah is located at the city that guards the entrance to the valley of Elah. It is located in a very, very high mountain, just south of what is today Beit Shemesh. Just north of Azekah is Tzor'ah. Tzor'ah is today north of Beit Shemesh, and that also forms part of that western line. Among the concluding cities is Hebron, which of course delineates the southern border of the line of fortifications. And so we see here a line of fortifications which includes the east, the west, the south. This is clearly intended to act against an invasion from the south. Rechava'am may have anticipated Shishak's arrival, and this may be a fortification process that is designed to protect against an impending invasion from Egypt. It is not part of a fortification against the northern kingdom, which is significant. And we're told here that he not only builds these fortifications, but provisions them and prepares them for the possibility of a siege, which tends to indicate in the narrative that this is part of a preparation for Shishak's invasion. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayechazek tam etzurot, Vayiten bahim negidim, Ve'otzurot ma'achal, Veshemen vayayin. He strengthens these cities, he places upon them princes or officers, Ve'otzurot ma'achal, treasures or stores of food, Veshemen vayayin, oil and wine. The oil and wine are the key components of liquid stores, and they would be used for the sake of the oil. The olive oil provides fat, the wine provides sugars, along with ma'acha, which presumably refers to grain, These were the three basic food groups in ancient Israel: grain, oil, and wine or fruit. And these were known to be the types of provisions that are placed in store in stronghold cities to prepare for battle, to prepare for a siege. The same type of material is prepared in a much later period, in the period of Chizkiyahu, in the jars that he uses to provision cities against an impending Assyrian siege, and evidence for those jars we have in archaeological excavations. Now, there is one additional issue in this chapter which deserves our attention, and that are those are the statements in Psukim 13 through 17, which state that the Kohanim and Levi'im gathered into the kingdom of Rechava'am. They are said to have abandoned Yeravam, abandoned the north, and rather than staying in their cities in Yeravam, in domain in the northern part of Israel, they gather to Yehuda, as we see in Pasuk 17, Yudzayin, Vayechazeku et Malchut Yehuda, Vayametsu et Rechava'am ben Shlomo l'shalosh shanim, Ki alchu b'derech David u'shlomo l'shalosh shanim. They strengthen the kingdom of Yehuda, they support Rechava'am, the son of Shlomo, for 3 years, Ki alchu b'derech David u'shlomo l'shanim shalosh, because they walked in the path of David and Shlomo for 3 years. In other words, Rechava'am's good actions are limited here by a three-year span. We're told that after 3 years, he reverts to a negative course of actions, and that seems to be connected to the building of the fortifications, because that building of those fortifications indicates some sort of arrogance. The idea that there's a connection between the building of the fortifications and the arrogance is expressed in the very first pasuk of chapter 12, Vayehi ki achin malchut Rechava'am uchechezkato, azav atarat Hashem v'chol Yisrael imo. When Rechava'am's kingship was established and he became strong, then he abandoned the Torah of God along with all of Israel. That the development of that narrative, in which strength is connected to abandonment of Torah, is one that we will see tomorrow when we study chapter 12.